right. Good afternoon, everyone, on the snowy Friday afternoon here in the Waterloo region. We're at the Radio Laurier studio here at the Waterloo campus of Wilfrid Laurier University, and it is snowing. It snowed yesterday morning, but didn't really stick around, so it was kind of a pitiful first snow. Today is the first snow. I was walking into the studio, and it was like the thick, light snow going in your face, and everyone's wearing winter coats. I'm not yet, but it's quite a day. And it's exciting to finally have kind of the first taste of winter come into the Waterloo region as it's November 29th. It's almost into December, almost Christmas. But before Christmas, of course, is exams and final projects and all of that stuff. And due to all that, it's just me in the studio here today. None of the other volunteers, you know, it's quite a busy time of year. So it's just me in the studio for, you know, the better part of an hour. Might get some callers in. I tried to set a couple up before we came on air. We'll see if these go through. But it's also, yeah, it's busy for everyone here. But of course, this is Golden Bold, the voice of Laurier Sports. And Laurier Sports, unfortunately, on the losing end of the illustrious Vanier Cup. Last weekend, of course, that was hosted in Kingston. U Sports Football Immortality was not having it. For the Golden Hawks, of course, the Golden Hawks facing off against Laval, the Rouge et Or, the red and gold from Quebec. They came into Kingston, who's going to host it again next year, too. They went to Kingston, hosted by Queen's University. Laurier versus Laval, and Laval came out, of course, as they win that game 22-17. Of course, that was... the last game of the season for the Golden Hawks and for Laval. Laval, of course, getting their 12th Vanier Cup in about 30 years. Of course, the program was formed, I think, in 1996 or 1995, 94, mid-90s. And since then, they have been, not even arguably, they have been the most dominant university sports football program in the country. And they get their dozenth Vanier Cup victory, and the Golden Hawks fall short and their Vanier Cup appearance. Of course, their last appearance was in 2005, where they did end up winning the National Vanier Cup, but this time it was not, as again, Laval beats Laurier 22-17 in Kingston last weekend. So the football programs across the nation are done and will reset and regroup for next year. Of course, the Golden Hawks, that was their first defeat all season. They're, of course, undefeated throughout regular season play and throughout the playoffs. Of course, winning the OUA championship, winning the UTEC Bowl, and suffer their first defeat in at the hands of the Rouge et Or. Of course, the last football players of the week, of course, who else? But Ethan Jordan, also Jesse Wilkins, Flaherty, and Laomi Ujutileo, of course, rounding out those three. For the football players of the week, of course, Michael Faulds, the head coach, not just winning OUA Coach of the Year, but also winning U Sports Football Coach of the Year, and Taylor Elgersma, not just getting his second consecutive OUA Football MVP, but also getting the Heck Crichton Award for U Sports nationally football MVP. So, not the result, of course, the Golden Hawks wanted. But a great showing, and they had the OUA championship, they had the UTEC championship, and losing to this Laval, this incredible Laval team, is nothing to be ashamed of. And of course, after the game, Michael Faulds stuck around for an interview with 519 Sports, and here's a bit of a clip of that, just to hear him post-game. This is Michael Faulds post-game after the Vanier Cup.
Say we were going to hold Laval out of the end zone. That was unbelievable performance by our defense, forced them into field goals. And we said at halftime down 10, momentum's a heck of a thing. We're going to kick off to them. We're going to stop them. Then we're going to go down and score. And that's exactly what we did. So I was super proud of our guys that we cut it to three. Then the subsequent possessions for Laval, they went two and out. And we just couldn't regain that momentum offensively.
And that's where it kind of comes down to. You hear him touch on it. We couldn't regain that offense or that momentum, really. And they went to the halftime down 10. And interesting, the start of that little clip there was that Laval didn't get, you know, touchdowns. They got field goals. And that was enough to put them over the edge by five, and Golden Hawks fought back coming out of that half. They cut the lead down to three, but their possessions just weren't clicking, and Laval made the most of what they were given. So, again, another disappointing end to the season for the Golden Hawks, but it can only be so disappointing, and it's one of those where you kind of, you know, you miss the big one, and I'm sure, you know, it's a bit of a mourning period for the seniors, too, as that was their last game in the purple and gold, but you did win the OUA, you did win the UTEC, and for the players who aren't graduating, of course, the message in the room is we'll be right back next year. Of course, again, those football players of the week, the last edition of the school year, Ethan Jordan, Jesse Wilkins, Flerick, and Leomi Ochutileo. Of course, other athletes of the week outside the football realm, of course, Kate Gosgriff and Kent Goni-Avila, of course, both swimmers, a strong swimming program appearance over the past week, especially Kate Gosgriff. Of course, she's the first-year business math major. She set three Canadian para records at the Dean Bowles Division Championships in St. Catharines this past week. She set records in the 50-meter, 100-meter, and 50-meter backstroke. Congratulations to Kate Gosgriff for a terrific performance. Not just for, you know, the Laurier program, but just individually for herself, setting records at the Canadian Para Division Championships in St. Catharines over this past week. And that's quite impressive, of course, going down the rest of Laurier sports. Of course, men's hockey this past weekend cut their 9-game losing skid. Was worried he was going to get to 10, then the hockey guy would have to make a video on it, but only got to 9. And they won that game 5-2, and they were at York. Of course, it was a 2-goal game from Eli Reimer. Sam Rhodes, of course, also getting a goal and an assist. And it was interesting. I'm looking at the—I didn't get to catch the game. I was looking at the score sheet for it, the box score. And there's three fighting majors handed out. And I think that's the first time I've looked at an OUA box score and saw some fighting majors. It's a pretty rare occurrence. You don't really see it out of Laurier sports. But Guelph. Guelph, where am I here? I was talking about the York game. The Guelph game they played. Why did I put Guelph? It's the York game. I'm getting my notes confused. It's the York game. They had fighting majors. It was the York game again. They won that 5-2. And there's three fighting majors handed out. Two for York, McCarthy and McAndrews. And then also Laurier's Anderson got a fighting major too. And of course, Anderson and McAndrews both also got a roughing minor, and fighting not allowed in the OUA. So, of course, there will probably be some supplementary discipline or talking to's, at least, from the league. As I'm sure, fairly certain, it's probably a 1-game automatic suspension for fighting, as with most junior leagues. But also, you know, I don't play in the OUA. I've never really played competitive hockey. However, fighting is, like, integral to hockey. And I, a game misconduct, if not the game, sure, but take suspension, really? These are, like, I don't know. I like seeing fighting. I don't think it should be disciplined as heavily, but it's also, you know, it's a recent trend of trying to take, you know, the more violent plays out of hockey, out of the game, which, you know, for you know, in the name of player safety, I guess I do somewhat agree with, but I guess in that same vein of the OUA, you know, not encouraging fighting, it's kind of a rare play. I was reading the box score, and I'm like, oh, I heard fighting. Awesome. All right. So I went to the OUA website, OUA.tv, where all of Golden Hawks games are streamed for hockey. And I clicked onto the York and Golden Hawk game. Of course, York hosting that, so it was off York's broadcasting team. And I guess they probably taught that. Like, I don't want to say they did their job wrong, but the fight was going on and the camera never panned over to it, so we never saw, like, if you're watching at home, you couldn't, only people in the stands saw the fight, but the camera just stayed aimed away from the fight where the puck was for like 30 seconds until it was over, and then it panned over, which I guess that's probably what the cameramen are taught. But also, I want to see a fight. You want entertain, you want people to watch the games, then you air the scraps. You know, real grap talk, you know, but that was not to be. So you kind of have to have the commentators, you know, kind of guide you through what happened. And it sounded like Laurier's Anderson threw an elbow, the commentators were saying. And then I think McAndrews dropped his gloves, and McCarthy got in there too and also got a fighting a major. So a bit of a scrum, bit of confusion. Ends up two York players with a fighting major. Laurier, one player with a fighting major. So we'll have to see how that impacts the lineups for both teams in their next game. Of course, the Golden Hawks, the men's team, play tomorrow night in Brock, of course. Laurier's 3-8-3, the men's hockey team. That's quite a disappointing start to the season. They will have to make a lot of ground up to try to get back into the playoff hunt, as they are last in the OUA East Division and third last overall. Brock, not on top of the league. They're about in the middle, but you know, they're seventh in the East. So this is a doable game for the Golden Hawks, coming off a momentum of a three-goal victory on the road. Of course, Brock 6-7-1-1 for 14 points. And of course, Golden Hawks coming out that 5-2 win against York November 23rd. Another point of the York broadcast. I noticed that they're a score bug. You know, the timeless classic of radio shows are the visuals. And so if you look on your screen, the score bug is like the scoreboard graphic that's laid on the screen. That's called a score bug. And York's was kind of strange. I don't know if anyone from York is listening. But if you are, it's like they don't have the time left in the period. Like, you know how every other sport, every other scoreboard has the time, you know? It's kind of good to know. They didn't have it. They just had they had the scores, which is nice, and they had period three, or they had a P and then a three, but the P was in like a different section. So like, is that implying a power play, or is that just the period? A bit of a weird score bug coming from York, and of course I you know, you can't see it if you're listening, but trust me, it's an odd looking score bug, and it doesn't even give the time of the period. That being said, in women's hockey. The women's hockey also, their most recent game was a victory. They won last night, visiting Guelph 4-3 in overtime off the stick of Olivia McMillan. McMillan opened the scoring and closed the scoring. Great game from Olivia McMillan. Notching two goals, Abby Glandon, a goal and assist, and Arielle McDonald off the D-line, also a goal and an assist. And I've sung the praises of Arielle McDonald for as long as I've been part of the sports team here. So glad to see she's still doing quite well and only seems to be improving year after year. So that was the women's hockey team. Last night, down Highway 7 in Guelph, getting a 4-3 OTW over the Griffins. Of course, the women's hockey, also kind of, you know, fun news. They play tomorrow night in Woodstock, of course, for the Woodstock Wildcats Roar game. They're against Brock, so Brock and the Golden Hawks bussing in to Woodstock on this November 30th, tomorrow, to play a regular season game. It's always, the women's hockey team also went to, I think, Owen Sound earlier this year as part of the Battle of Waterloo. So Waterloo and Laurier went to Owen Sound to play a regular season women's hockey game just in Owen Sound. And it's always interesting to see, it's always fun to see, you know, the teams kind of going around, not just playing at their regular arena, you know, every single home game, but they're branching out. They're, you know, community outreach, and they're helping support these smaller towns. And, you know, it's going to be a big deal in Woodstock. Of course, it's the Woodstock Wildcats Roar game, so expect quite a healthy crowd for that. And make sure to tune in, because you will also hear my voice again. Don't you love the sound of my voice? You get to hear it tomorrow on the broadcast. Me and another volunteer, we get to ride the team bus down to Woodstock as part of the media crew, so cameraman and all the fun stuff. We get to ride down, and we get to call the action at the Woodstock Arena. Of course, it's Southwood Arena in Woodstock. So it'll be a fun experience, you know, going on the road with the team and getting to call them. So it'll be quite fun. Make sure you tune in for that, as it'll be quite a game, of course. Laurier women's hockey 7-5-0-1. They're 20 points. That's good for fourth in the East. Brock is 4-6-1-0. 12 points, 8 points less. They're tied for last in the East and tied for second last overall. So on paper, Golden Hawks are the favorites, but no team has home ice advantage. Both teams are almost playing a road game, even though Laurier's the home team on paper. You're not playing at your home arena. And Brock and Laurier both heading on to the coach to go down to Woodstock tomorrow night. Game start at 7. Basketball-wise, for Laurier Sports, men's basketball, they're currently at a 3-game losing skid. Of course, their most recent loss coming at the hands of the TMU Bold, 78-85 last weekend. Of course, they play tonight in Thunder Bay. That's quite a ways. They're, of course, facing Lakehead. Of course, it's the final game of the term for both basketball teams, men's and women's, as the men's teams, of course, is 3-7 on the season. That's good for fourth in the West. And they're against the 8-1 Lakehead team. Of course, they're tied for first in the Central. Very strong Lakehead men's football program. Of course, they're tied for first in the Central with TMU. How TMU and Lakehead earn the Central division, the same division, I don't know. But the women's basketball team also making the trip up to Lakehead, and they also have a current 3-game losing streak, and they're also 3-7. These men's and women's teams cannot branch out on their own. They both have a losing record, and not last in the league or anything, but they have a losing record. They're both riding 3-game losing streaks. They both have the exact same record, 3-7. I don't know what's going on there. Probably a coincidence, but you're kind of hoping that either one of those teams come out with a win, and out of those teams, it might be the women's. Of course, if you look on paper, the women's team's 3-7. Lakehead's 2-7. So the Golden Knights play one more game than Lakehead and also have that one extra game being a win. So we'll see what the outcomes of those are. Of course, the Golden Hawks, also the women's team, lost against TMU last weekend. 10-point loss, 58-68. In that 10-point loss, Laurier's Cassidy Hurdle almost got 20 points, got 19 points. Good showing for Hurdle, but eventually did lose that game. Again, the women's and men's teams play tonight at Lakehead. You can catch that on OUA TV. And it's the final game of the term for both teams. So, as we head into the Christmas break, you'll see sports winding down. Of course, again, that women's Golden Hawks team is also 3-7. That's good for fifth in the East, above Algoma, but who isn't? And again, Lakehead's 2-7. That's good for fifth in the Central. I do want to look up Algoma University women's basketball scores, because they've been getting shut out. I think the men's team, Algoma, not a good start to the season for their basketball programs, as if I could spell, it'd be easier to look up these, as I want to check out Algoma. As I was looking at some of the scorers, of course, we here at the sports team, we get to commentate some of the games. So I was looking at some of the Algoma scores, and they're... this is what I was looking for. They're against the University of Ottawa, and they lost. This is the men's team. They lost 52-100. Almost got doubled up on by the GGs. They lost 62-105 the week before, or the day, 2 days before. They lost 62-111. They lost 74-121 to Queens. They lost 41-114 against UFT. 41-114. That's not good. They were against TMU November 2nd. They lost 52-115. Algoma's going through it. If you are an Algoma fan, I would stay off social media. That being said, the men's team for Algoma have turned it around. Last two games, they were against York and only lost by 3 points, 64-67. Then against Brock, and they only lost by 22 points. That improvement from, earlier on in the season, 65-87. Of course, the women's team, if I can get the scores loaded up here, not as bad. So it was the men's team I was looking at during one of my commentating preparations and saw the Wild scores. The women's teams, as generally in OUA women's basketball, you don't get that crazy high scores, but this women's team did lose 58-85 against UFT, 38-70 against TMU. But they did get a win against Ontario Tech by 14, too. So Algoma, especially for a men's basketball, you know, watcher of the Algoma team, it's not quite your year, of course. And as we end off on a Golden Hawks talk, Hawk Talk the Hawk, that's a throwback. We will try to get some callers into the station. Of course, it's only me, and I do like some healthy discussion on the show. And so I have a friend of mine loaded in here. As we're going to be talking about NHL, we're going to be talking about Penguins, we're going to talk about the Leafs, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, as I'll get my good Penguins fan friend, Jack, in here. So I'm going to call him. We're gonna turn up, unmute. I'm going to turn up. Jack, are you there?
I am here. How is it going?
It's going good, Jack. How's your day been so far?
Rather uneventful. I woke up, ate breakfast, and I've been doing schoolwork.
How responsible. Of course, Jack, I understand, of course, we're going to talk about the Penguins for a couple minutes. As someone joined our call, as of course we're not using a direct phone to phone, because you know our phones are quite you know temperamental, so we're using a different platform, as you can tell. And Jack, of course, the Penguins season is just not going the way you'd expect. It is not going good, and quite frankly, it's been a rather disastrous start to the season by the Penguins.
You know, I knew they probably wouldn't make the playoffs, but they're not doing anything. They have a negative 33 goal differential.
That's
less, but like the second worst team. They're almost last in the league, and you'd think the team be good. They got Crosby, got Malkin, they got Letang, Carlson, Bunting, Raquel, Russ, but they can't put it together, especially in that third period.
No, and you mentioned, they have a good roster, but they haven't been able to connect at all. One of the big questions, of course, we saw the firing of Jim Montgomery out of the Bruins. Do you think Mike Sullivan of the Penguins might be on the hot seat?
No, a lot of Penguins fans, Penguins fans, they do not like Mike Sullivan. I don't know why. He won him two cups. Like, you can't, disrespect him. Dubas backs him up a lot.
Yes.
I think last year there was a conference, he's saying Mike Sullivan is his guy.
Which, I mean, right? you kind of have to, again, he won the cups, consecutive cups, 2016, 2017. But how long do you give him that goodwill? Because that's 7 years ago.
That is true. And, there is, the meta nowadays. It seems to be if your team does bad, immediately fire everyone. Rehire. Is that always the answer? Sullivan has so much experience with the Penguins. He knows how to win cups. Should they just get rid of him because they're having a bad couple of years when it's, all Ron Hextall's fault?
It's true, yeah. Again, we see, the average lifespan of a coach's tenure with the team nowadays of the NHL is literally, a year, if. So Mike Sullivan is one of the longest tenured coaches in the league, and he's built, he's been in the job for 8 years. So the dressing room, and there's a lot of connections with the players, a lot of relationships formed. And do you throw that all away because you're not succeeding when the coach hasn't really been given a consistently strong team, top to bottom, to succeed?
Yeah, I think he should stay personally. But when I saw that Boston coach got fired, I was like, I mean, he's a really good coach.
He is.
I don't know why he got fired. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Jim Montgomery, of course. 2 years ago, set the regular season record for most points and the best record. Boston Bruins, 2022, I think 2023 season, was the greatest regular season by any team in the history of the NHL. And a year and a half, 2 years later, he gets just dumped.
Yeah, he got hired immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone, you fired one of the greatest coaches in the league. Yeah, we're going to scoop him up. What do you think was going to happen? Now, I'd argue if Mike Sullivan, got dumped at any point, there'd be teams calling because he's proven that he can win and he's a good coach. And again, it kind of goes to when Jim Montgomery was fired for the Bruins. everyone online was like, he's not the problem. It's Don Sweeney. It's Cam Neely, the ones in charge. And you're saying it's kind of the same thing in the Penguins, where the much of the blame kind of has to lie on, you know, Ron Hextall and the former management to kind of setting this team up.
Yeah, those contracts are not great. I do like the Dubas trade. Right when he came in, he got rid. Like, people like don't like Erik Karlsson because he's paid way too much, which is true. But I'd much rather have an overpaid Erik Karlsson than overpaid, like, Grunlund, like, Ruta.
Oh, Granlund and, like, Carter and all those contracts.
Like, that trade, it was incredible. So I think, like, we're not in the best spot, but it's, like, we can work with this. If Erik Karlsson can remember how to play hockey and not just play offense, that would be ideal.
Of course. And, Jack, I know you're also a goalie. And what's your kind of opinion on Tristan Jarry's performance this season?
Oh, don't get me started on Jarry. You know, at the start of the year, I was hitting on Jarry a lot. He got sent down to the AHL. I think I saw a stat that said, like, 40% of Jarry games, he's let in the first goal.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sure if those, like, those shots are high quality or not. I haven't watched a lot of the games recently because I'm just kind of done with watching Penguins hockey in general. But, like, you can't be letting in 40% of goals the very first one.
No. And that's
obviously you get sent down to the AHL.
Yeah, that's rough, eh? Like, you're starting goaltender, you're paid NHL bucks, and they get sent down to the AHL. That's never a good look. Yeah. We saw that with, I think, Jack Campbell too, and he's just never come back. He's kind of just banished, and no one knows where he is anymore. Tristan Jarry goes down the AHL. He puts up some good games. I think his record is like 3-1 or something, like 4-1 maybe. Comes back up, and doesn't really improve.
Yeah, maybe like a slight improvement, like, at most, but, like, he's still the same old Jarry, like, below 900, like, he saves most of the pucks he's supposed to, but, like, the most important thing about the goalie is not saving the shots you're supposed to, it's making those saves you're not expected to save. It really makes you a quality goalie. And Jarry being paid, what, like, $5 million a year, he is not living up to $5 million. He's simply saving the easy shots. Isn't really being too competitive anywhere else.
Yeah, I just Googled his contract, and yeah, 24-25, he has a cap hit of $5.4 million. And to be putting up these numbers, putting up these performances, is just not cutting it. And also, as a goalie, I want to take your take on the Charlie Lindgren goal, of course, a couple of nights ago. As a goaltender, like, have you done that before? Is it common? Because that just seemed like just kind of boneheaded play. They end up winning the game, but, like, how do you excuse that?
Yeah, I have never gotten the puck and shot it directly into my net. No, I cannot say I've done it.
Well done.
I mean, like, you gotta, like, he's trying to wrap it around the boards, obviously, but you can't be trying. You're a goalie. You're not good at shooting. You stop the pucks. You don't play with the pucks. So, like, just don't put it near the net. Like, what are you doing? Throw it to the corner.
Yeah, and you think he's handled the puck before, but he got the puck, and he looked like, you know, this is a standard hockey play. The goalie comes out with a stick to play the puck, and just, we've seen that, like, flip to behind the net on kind of flip it behind your net by goalies, but he was, like, way out of the paint. He's near the faceoff dot, so obviously he doesn't have that angle, and he doesn't even look. He just flips it and slots it into the back of his net. Now, luckily, they win that game, but had they not, that would not have been a fun locker room to be in.
No, it definitely would not be. I mean, and that's it's kind of hard, like, to just put everything on the goalie, but you kind of have to there. But, like, if you're Lindgren there, you just gotta, like, have, like, a short memory. Just kind of forget it. These random things happen sometimes. Like, goalie seems like an easy position, but it's like, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, like, you always get blamed when whatever happens. So he just has to regain.
Exactly.
And go next.
He has to just simply go next. Of course, they do end up winning that game. But as a mentality, like for a professional player to make that kind of gaffe on a national stage, that's got to, you know, mess with your psyche. You know, like, I've made like gaffes when I was 6 years old playing like tyke ball hockey that still keep me up to this day. So how these professional athletes are able to, you know, have a short memory, as you say, is quite remarkable to me, of course. When you're a goalie, you know, you've played goalie for a healthy amount of different teams at different levels. Of course. Are you able to kind of have that short memory, or are you one of those people that kind of, you know, keeps you up at night?
You know, I'm just here to save pucks. I don't really care about winning or losing nowadays. I mean, you know, maybe back in the day, in like the 12-year-old rep game, was like, oh, dang, let that goal in. But now it's like, it doesn't matter. If you're a goalie, like, the goals usually aren't your fault. Like,
that's true.
They have to get past five players before you.
Yeah, exactly. You're the last line defense. And by the time, you know, like, shooters can shoot. And if it goes past you, it's like, well, why did they get that shot off? They went by, you know, the entire team to reach me. And of course, I know you're part of the Georgian College campus in Barrie. Of course, you're part of that hockey program there. You had a tournament, I think, this past weekend. How'd that go?
Pretty well. I was actually playing with the Aurelia Barrie team, and I didn't get the first start, unfortunate. But then I had like an amazing like lights out game against the most random community college. I forget the name of, but that goes to show how low level the Aurelia team is.
That's the Aurelia Lakehead team, right?
Yeah. Aurelia Georgian.
Georgian.
Team. Yes.
But you're also going to Lakehead.
I am also. It's very confusing. don't worry about the details.
Right. Oh, so how many games did you end up playing? How did you get
a
the start
whole
on?
Two games.
Hey, that's more than one.
Incredible,
that's plural.
It is. That's correct.
All right. Before we let you go here, anything else you'd like to touch on? If I know you're a Penguins fan, have you been keeping up with any other teams in the NHL?
Winnipeg doing well.
Winnipeg doing well.
Yes.
How about that Hellebuck, huh?
Hellebuck is indeed a good goalie.
Ain't no way. Of course, Hellebuck putting up big Vezina numbers, and the Jets, I believe, are still on top of the league. Of course, I think they won their big first 15 of 16 games, or first 14 of 15. So the Winnipeg Jets doing quite well for themselves as they are 18-5 now, which is top of the league. So before I let you go here, do you think the Jets have what it takes to be a favorite in the playoffs, or are you of the mindset they're just another first-round exit?
I mean, I don't think they're a favorite to win the Cup. They are a Canadian team. As we know, Gary Bettman would never allow it.
This is true. This is Bettman's
like,
NHL.
I would say it's doable here. Like, if they can keep going, and they start off really well, like 16-1 they start off.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. They have, like, fallen off a little bit. They're only 6-4 last 10.
Ooh.
So if they can get back to that, the original first 15 games they had, I think they have a real shot.
I agree. I think the Jets do have a good shot. As you mentioned, you know, they're 6-4 of their past 10, so maybe it's just a case of the, you know, teams and defenses and scouting kind of have the book on you now, and they know how to defend you, and they know where your weak points are. But nonetheless,
yeah.
The Jets, again, have quite a strong lead on the league. So thank you for calling in here. Jack, we might get someone else on the call, but for now, have a great day, Jack. Thanks for your insight, as always.
No problem. Have a good day.
Have a good one. All right, that was, of course, Jack Duma, of course. I think he's in Barrie right now, and he's a goaltender growing up. He still plays goalie, as you mentioned. He had a tournament for Lakehead down in Toronto. And, again, goalie talk here, Tristan Jarry for the Penguins. Not putting up good enough numbers, especially what his contract hit is. But, like, that was kind of predicted. And Jarry has only shown that he's a very inconsistent goalie. At times, he looks like a top, you know, 10, 15 goalie in the league. And other times, he looks like, you know, like you almost can't afford to start him. So as the Penguins try to figure that out, that'll be quite, you know, an interesting situation to kind of keep up on, as and then we also talked about the Jets, and we seem like we talk about the Jets almost every week, and it's for good reason, because the Jets have been doing quite well. Of course, as Jack mentioned, 6-4 of their past 10, and whether it's a case of kind of, you know, you kind of burn yourselves out almost after a terrific start to the season. Or maybe the teams kind of have the book on you now, and they have, you know, 20 games to, of film to review, and they've been able to kind of shut you down where you're most productive. Maybe it's kind of a case of both. Of course, they're still resting at a 34-goal differential, which is you know, other than the Capitals and Hurricanes, are double practically what any other team has. And of course, we talked about the Penguins, the Pittsburgh Penguins, of course, bottom of the Metro, in a very tight metropolitan division, of course. Hurricanes 33 points, Devils 32 points, Capitals 31 points. Rangers were hanging in there. They've dropped down to 25 points, and the Rangers are also another topic of conversation as while they have a winning record and they're in the playoff spot 20 games into the season, it's just not really been clicking, and you don't feel confident about these Rangers, and they can kind of keep this up. Shesterkin is always a strong goaltender, but not a lot of parts are clicking. And it's a rather, you know, again, it's strange because you look at the standings, you go, oh, okay, they're fourth in an eight-team division. You know, that's pretty good. They're 12-8. That's 25 points. That's not bad at all. But a lot of these wins are, you know, they kind of luck into, or they're not as proven as they want. And you can see this, you know, the team itself is disappointed by their start to the season. And we've seen kind of trade rumors circulate about a captain, Jacob Trouba, maybe getting traded, or assistant captain, longtime Ranger, Chris Kreider, getting traded and looking to shake things up. Do I think they'll trade Chris Kreider? No, but like the Islanders, you know, also traded Tavares. The Lightning also let go of Stamkos. And Chris Kreider has kind of been the face of the Rangers, probably the consistent player on the Rangers, dating back to that 2014 finals run. He was on that team. I'd imagine he's the only team left, only player on the team left from that finals run, you know, 10 years ago. So he's been like consistent, strong, great goal scoring, great energy guy for these Rangers. And, you know, so you think, oh, Chris Kreider, I'm like, oh, they're never going to trade Chris Kreider. He's going to retire as a Ranger. It'll be all nice and poetic. But especially towards kind of, you know, into the 30s, you're seeing, you know, teams trade their kind of franchise players. So it'll be interesting to see how long Chris Kreider is on the Rangers for. And also, Jacob Trouba, captain. I never understood trading captains. I think that's a bad look, but like, Jacob Trouba was also in trade rumors last season, and he was also the captain last season. So I don't really know how that works. Of course, I'm just trying to organize a bit more callers here. again, trading your captain, again, I don't think is a good move. But like, when your captain is like associated with trade rumors, that just kind of shows that maybe he's not, you know, the best available captain material, right? Because you think your captain's the guy you want the face of the franchise. You're hitching your wagon to the captain. He's going to be the media leader. He's going to be the locker room leader. He's going to be the bench leader. You know, and for such an illustrious original six franchise as the New York Rangers, with such history behind it, you know, the captaincy has a bit more weight than perhaps other organizations, i.e. Anaheim, who named Radko Gudas the captain, which is one of the more absurd management decisions I can think of. But Jacob Trouba gets the captaincy a couple of seasons ago, and he was kind of involved in trade rumors since he got the captaincy. So that is an interesting note on the Rangers, of course. Down the Metro, Flyers just behind the Rangers, 23 points. Blue Jackets having a bit of a stronger season than we expected coming out of summer. They're 9-9-3 at 21, so they're doing better than the Penguins. So if you're the Penguins, you're currently behind the 2024 Columbus Blue Jackets. So do you sell the franchise after that? I'm not sure. Of course, and we're trying to see if we get any more callers on the line. I didn't send a message, so maybe that's why I didn't get it. As looking around the NHL, it's kind of a hockey-centric episode of Golden Bold, but, you know, I'm also a hockey-centric person. And so, you know, deal. This is my message. As we're waiting for perhaps another person to get on the line here, but as we wait for that, of course, we'll talk about the Leafs for a bit. And Leafs, of course, coming off a 5-1 loss against the Panthers. Not a good showing at all. Auston Matthews, still notably not on the roster. He's been day-to-day for a month. So there's that. Of course, as of last week, I think I discussed it on the show last week, of course, the Leafs management and coaching and, you know, all the media releases and media, you know, interactions are, everyone asks about Matthews because he's the star of the team and one of the stars of the league. And everyone's like, oh, he's day-to-day. Don't worry. It's just kind of a minor injury. He's getting sorted out. No worries. He could be back next team. He could be back next week. He could be back on the weekend. We've heard this for a month. It's almost December. I think he's been out since the start of November. So this day-to-day, don't worry about it. It's been going on for a month. And last week, he went to Germany. Yes, this minor injury we need not worry about. The player went to Germany to get it checked out, along with a team physiotherapist. So I'm not sure what the injury is. I'm not sure how severe it is, but certainly it is not quite the day-to-day injury that we expected. As all the callers now, as there's a kind of a there's a conference call going on. I'm not sure if I want to head in on that, but I do am getting a call right now.
How's it going?
Hey, here we go. We got Jackson on the line. Of course, a good friend of the show. We had Jack on earlier, a friend of both of ours. And as he gets himself set, this is, of course, Jackson Lee, host of CKLU up in Laurentian. He's host of Swing and a Drive Home every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. So if you're in the Laurentian Sudbury region, make sure to check out CKLU at 5 p.m. And if you're just joining us here, of course, this is Golden Bold on Radio Laurier, and we have Jackson Lee, Sudbury's own, on the line. Jackson, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. You know, thanks for the shout-out. Always love to your support for the program. It's pretty cold up here, kind of Sudbury things. You know, that's how it is. How are things down there with you?
Going good. We're getting our first like snow of the season. We got a bit of snow yesterday morning, but it was gone by noon. But here, I was walking to the studio at 12:30, and like it was thick, light snow in my face. So I'm hyped. It's almost winter. It's almost Christmas. And meaning it's almost winter, it's almost Christmas. We're almost heading into December for the NHL season. Of course, most teams over 20 games played now by this point. And on your show, you mentioned that Canucks and Senators game, and the Canucks now, you know, they're without Miller. They're getting Besser back. How do you think the Canucks can kind of turn their season around as we head into the December month?
Well, things are definitely looking up. You got Brock Besser is back now. However, it's unfortunate that with Besser coming back, we lose Filip Hronek. And it just feels like that sort of every bit of good news we get as Canucks fans, there's always something bad right around the corner to replace it. So it is going to be a struggle. This team is definitely going to be tested based on their abilities for depth scoring, their abilities to find value in people that otherwise probably wouldn't have had as much time to shine. Their rookies like Lekkomäki, like Ratu, they're going to face a lot of adversity right now because they're going to be getting ice time that guys like Miller, like Hronek, like these star guys should be getting. And it'll be a test. They'll have to see how they're able to handle that, for sure.
And you mentioned, I was tuning into your show, and that Ottawa game against Canucks, that was a chippy team. It's a chippy game. And, of course, just your opinions on that, on the Senators' season so far.
Well, the Senators are one of those organizations that you feel like they've been rebuilding for forever. And if you've only been a fan of the game for 8 years, they have been rebuilding forever. They have not made the playoffs since 2016-17 season. They haven't even been over 500 in that time, I believe. Maybe one or two halfway decent seasons here and there. But the Ottawa Senators story for the last little bit has been one of complete and utter travesty. They are, without a doubt, the worst Canadian franchise in the league at the moment. And it's kind of sad to see, because we were talking about on the program, they have a lot of talent on that team. They have guys like Tkachuk. They got guys like Stutzla. They got guys like Sanderson. And you'd think with that kind of star power or that kind of star potential, they'd be able to put something together. But they just haven't. The depth is not there. The defense, after their superstar players like Sanderson, they had Chychrun, they got rid of him. After that, it's looking really, really thin. And I think these Senators are still a long way away from being even remotely competitive in the near future.
It is strange because, again, the Senators, you kind of been in a perpetual rebuild since like that Eastern Conference Finals run back in like that's like 7 years ago now. And since then, they lost a lot of those players from that run. And they've been kind of perpetually rebuilding. They've gone through different ownerships through this rebuild, different management, different coaches. And it just seems like they're never able to kind of take that step into the playoff picture. And occasionally they get on good runs, but they're never really able to take that leap into the playoff conversation. In this season, it looks, unless they turn it around, looks like that's just, it's another season for the Senators to be out of the playoffs and not really improve. Of course, the Senators, 21 points, second last in the Atlantic. The Montreal Canadiens, also kind of a rebuilding team, but definitely not as long or as, you know, as anemic as the Senators. They're at 19 points, of course. Jack was on the air. Both our good friend Jack, and we discussed the Penguins. We also got talking about the Jets a bit, and the Jets now, he made up a good point. In the last 10 games, Jets are only 6-4. So do you think, is that the Jets coming back down to reality, or is it just a kind of a burnout slump from the hot start to the season they had?
Well, I think a big part of it is, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a bit of a burnout, bit of a slump, bit of a hangover, if you will, from their massive success at the beginning of the year. But you also got to remember, this is a team that has been very, very, very good for a very long time. They've been very quietly a 100, 110 point team for the last couple of years. You know, we're talking about probably the best team since COVID as far as record wise. And yeah, their playoff woes have been very prominent, but this is still a very good team. And yeah, 6-4, but if we're talking about 6-4 being a slump, think about how good of a, like how good that is for a team, right? Like that, there are teams out there that would kill to go 6-4 over the last 10, Canucks and Ottawa being one of them. And I think this is just maybe a little bit of a slump, probably not going to get back to that 18-4 kind of deal, but I think these Jets will absolutely be fine.
And I have to agree. I think there's no really need to worry. As you mentioned, yeah, 6-4 being considered like a slump or kind of like, ooh, maybe they're not as good. People kind of going a bit, predatory on that 6-4, 10-game stretch. I think that kind of shows how good these Jets really are. As, again, really the only better record in the last 10 is like the Avalanche is 7-3 over the last 10. And I think that's the only one. Oh, and the Leafs are 7-2-1. Sabres, hold up. Sabres are 7-3 over their last 10. When did that happen?
It's the Rasmus Dahlin effect. You know, they're another one of those teams that you feel like have been in a rebuild for forever, but they, to me, have a lot better pieces to work with than a team like the Senators.
Again, it's
but
kind of
also the Sabres.
Yeah, we have to consider they haven't been in the playoffs in, since Obama. As you kind of say, the three teams in the Atlantic Division that have kind of been like in a perpetual rebuild have been the Senators, have been the Red Wings, and have been the Sabres. And the Sabres, 23 points. Red Wings, 22 points. Senators, 21 points. All three teams outside the top four in the Atlantic. Out of the Sabres, Red Wings, and Senators, it's kind of been a topic in the hockey community for a while. Which one, two, or all three of those teams do you think have the best chance in making the playoffs?
See, that is a really, really good, interesting question. And I would have had an answer for you at the beginning of the year saying it's the Red Wings far and away, because I was a complete believer. I didn't think they were going out and getting 100 points and 50 wins, but I thought for sure that the Red Wings could muster up a playoff chance this year, and they just aren't. To me, to be a good team in this league, you need a couple of things. You need a superstar forward, you need a superstar defenseman, and you need a good goaltender. And these three teams, none of them have all three of those things. I mean, Ottawa's getting pretty close. You know, you look at guys like Stutzla, and now they have Allmark. But with those important factors, you need depth. And none of these teams have that. There's very promising young talent on all three of these teams. You talk about guys like Dahlin, talk about guys like Caulfield, who's playing absolutely amazing right now. But there's no depth to any of these teams. So it's hard to say. If I had to put one, I still believe in Detroit because I'm a big Patrick Kane, Dylan Larkin guy. But it's hard to say.
It is hard to say. As again, you, over the past couple seasons, it's been either the Sabres, Red Wings, you know, one of those teams, Senators, are going to make the leap this year. Since coming out of COVID, in the past 3 years, none of those teams have made the leap. But hopefully one of those teams will, because those fans earn it. You say the Red Wings. I'm going to go, maybe it's just like, you know, it's probably not going to happen. But I would love to see the Sabres make the playoffs. I think the last time they're in the playoffs was like 2011. So I don't even remember. Like, I wasn't a hockey fan the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs. So it'd be nice to see the Sabres make the playoffs. They're only 2 points behind Boston, who's in third in the Atlantic. But the way it's kind of going, and all the fan bases for the Sabres, Red Wings, and Senators, they kind of demand change. And the Red Wings have been the Iser plan for, you know, 6, 7 years. The Senators have gone through management and coaching changes and never seem to make anything stick. The Sabres, again, are the Buffalo Sabres. So we just kind of don't know, but I'll have to take you off the call here as we'll take one more caller in on this Golden Bullet. So thanks, Jackson, for calling in kind of last minute, but I appreciate it, and your insight is always appreciated on Golden Bullet.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I wish you a great Friday and a nice weekend, and I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Awesome. All right, see you, Jackson.
See you around.
All right, and we'll try to get our one more caller in before we end. As I told him, we get him on at 153. It's 153 right now, so we'll see how this goes. Of course, this is a big big Cameron. This is Cameron. He's a big hockey fan, big hockey historian too. He's quite knowledgeable about the game. He keeps up with it a lot. He's one of my sources for a lot of news going on around the NHL. So it's the first time caller here, of course, for Cameron. He's calling out of Barrie. We'll get him in on the call here. We'll see if this connects. Cameron, are you there?
Yes, hello. I'm Cameron. I'm calling in today.
Nice. All right, Cameron, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Barrie. I've been listening to the show for a bit.
Nice. All right. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah.
Cameron, of course, again, a big, big hockey guy, me and you. Both, we're even the same fantasy league together. However, I do not want to talk about it. But we will talk about the NHL. And I talked about half an hour ago, I had Jack Duma on the call, and we talked about the Penguins. And he says, you know, Mike Sullivan should not be fired. We saw Montgomery fired earlier last week. What's your stance on the Penguins season? Tristan Jarry, Mike Sullivan, Ron Hextall, Kyle Dubas. What's your take on the situation?
I think they just have to commit to the tank. Like, that roster is just so bad. It's so old.
They are old.
When Dubas came in, Ron Hextall made a disaster of this. He was a terrible GM.
Yep.
But Dubas wanted to try and compete still, and I think he made the wrong moves. I think Erik Karlsson was a bad trade. He hasn't been great for Pittsburgh. And I also think that the goaltending has been unusably bad. I personally like Tristan Jarry. But he hasn't been the best this year.
No.
Although recently he's been pretty good, but his team's still been awful in front of him.
We've got a Tristan Jarry apologist on the line here.
I am a Jarry fan.
And that
Mike Sullivan, I think they should fire him.
You think so? Yeah. You're on the.
I'm on the fire Sullivan.
Okay.
Track.
Okay.
I think he's been there for so long. He's gotten everything out of his players, and I think there's better options available. Nobody's taken Jay Woodcroft yet.
True.
He's been a good coach.
Jay Woodcroft, of course, led the Oilers 2 seasons ago, got kind of dumped to the wayside last year. But Jay Woodcroft, again, with the Oilers, was a good coach. That's an interesting name you bring up there. But bring it back to kind of Ron Hextall, and I think that's a great point, where Kyle Dubas still thought this team was a competitor. I think we've just seen that this team is not a favorite, is not a championship team, is a borderline playoff team last year. and this year is just completely not. So what moves do you think Dubas has to make, considering he kind of, you know, kind of made some missteps as soon as he got into the role? What do you think it's kind of, what do you think Dubas needs to do now? You say commit to the tank, right?
Commit to the tank. I think it's time to trade off some key assets. Get rid of Carlson, even though his value has completely tanked. There's no reason to keep him. I'd also think Dubas should step down as GM and just stay as president. He hasn't done a good job as the GM. I think somebody else should take over.
Someone like Jason Spezza?
Well, he can just stay as the president.
I think that's a good point, because yeah, he's managing both those roles, and you see that from some teams, but I think with the Penguins, you kind of have to have a manager who's just committed to the general manager role and is not worried about, you know, all the operations, all the other hockey stuff. Going on, of course, while we still have you on the line, of course, the Leafs losing 5-1 against the Panthers in their most recent game. However, they've been without Matthews, and they've been rocking without Matthews. And it was a bit of a strange situation with Matthews. Is he injured? Is he not? It's a day-to-day, but he's been out for like a month. But these Leafs still find ways to win games. How do you think they're doing that?
It's just magic. They're icing pretty much an AHL roster up there with Marner and Nylander and Tavares, and they're just working somehow. They got so many injuries. I think their next game, they're playing with like seven defensemen because Bobby McMahon got injured. It's going to be a sight to see.
That was a brilliant take, sir. I love that. Again, the Leafs, of course, get Alex Nylander, William Nylander's brother. Maybe for some, you know, sibling magic, of course, did not end up working in that 4-goal loss. And it's a strange situation with Matthews, of course. Like, we discussed on the show before, I've discussed it on CKLU with an earlier caller, Jackson, the host of that. And, like, every single time they're asked about the Matthews injury, they go, it's not a big deal, he'll be back really soon. He was up in, like, Germany getting his injury, his apparently minor injury, checked out. So no one really knows the scope of it. It's been an entertaining situation for all the wrong reasons. But do you think Matthews is nearing a return, at least?
Well, they're saying he was close for the Florida game, so I feel like he should return within the next week. But who knows? This injury has been so mysterious, they won't say anything about it. And I've only heard that he got this a while ago, and he's been playing with it, and it's only gotten worse.
It is interesting. Yeah, because I remember they said, like, okay, he'll make his return in Florida, you know, the 27th, I think it was, 2 days ago, in Wednesday. Notably, that just didn't happen. It seemed they keep delaying his return for a while, and the Leafs have been able to play just fine without them. You equate it to magic. But they've been, the last 10, they're 7-2-1. They're on top of the Atlantic. Now, the big question with this Leafs team, the regular season, you can have the most successful regular season you've ever had. No one, not a single species on God's green earth will care about the Leafs regular season this year. We will all care about the playoffs. Do you think this team's better structured for a playoff run than they were last year?
I think so. Last year, of course, they played Boston, which was an unwinnable matchup.
you can't win those.
Yeah. I think they really upgraded on defense. They got a lot of good defensemen there. I think come trade deadline, if they get another good forward, I think they could win a playoff round this year.
If they get a, what do you think is their weakest part of their line? Do you think they need to improve their goaltending? Stolarz has been pretty good. Do you think they need to improve their defense?
Stolarz is very good.
Yeah.
I don't think they need anything on defense or goaltending.
I think, it's just...
if they get like a third line center, they'll be good. I think they really need a third line center.
Third line center, you say?
Max Domi.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Third line center, and he's kind of and not great center.
Yeah, I do like Domi as a winger. I agree.
Yeah.
All right.
They could get like a decent third line center. I think they'll do a lot with that.
Of course. Before we hang you up, as we're almost out of time, we're talking NHL. We're talking hockey. We're talking playoffs. Who's your Stanley Cup pick?
My Stanley Cup pick is the Dallas Stars. I still believe in them even after last year.
No Pavelski.
I think they're one of the best teams. I know. No Pavelski's sad. I really wanted him.
I know.
Cup,
I love Pavelski.
Think this team has it.
You think? I think that's a good shout. I do like the Stars. I know you're a Rangers fan. Oh, what's your opinion on the Rangers start to the season?
They're horrible right now.
Yeah, they're not doing so. Again, it's weird because I was discussing it. It's standings. They're in the top half of the Metro. But, like, there's a bunch of trade rumors going around. It's not the start of the season anyone wanted. Do you think they'll end up trading Kreider or Trouba? Those are the two names linked to rumor. Do you think they'll end up trading either of them?
They should trade Trouba.
You say Trouba should go.
Still good. Trouba's unusual. He's bad.
He's not a great defender. He's the captain, though. Do you trade the captain?
Yeah, you got to do it.
You got to do it. What do you think the return for Trouba will look like? Do you just get another defender, or do you try to, like, get a forward out of Trouba?
I don't think he'll get much out of him. You just try and at least get, like, a decent draft pick and then try and get something else in another trade to replace him.
I think that's fair. You hear from Cameron calling out of Barry. Thanks for coming on the line, Cameron.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right, have a good one, Cameron.
You too.
Beautiful. All right. As that kind of wraps up our time here for Golden Bold, we got three callers in one show. I didn't know I even knew three people, so that was fun. As it was a solo show from my end. My name's Ian Billy, of course, sports manager here at Radio Laurier. And in case you missed the top of the program, we'll run down some Golden Hawks sports events coming on. Men's hockey, they play tomorrow night in Brock. Of course, Laurier men's hockey team, bottom of the East, not a strong start to the season at all. Brock not too far ahead of the Golden Hawks, so this is a winnable game on the road for the Golden Hawks. That's men's hockey. Women's hockey, tomorrow night, me and Mateo Beckles will be on the call for that. We're hitching a ride on the team bus to Woodstock. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the Woodstock, you know, like Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young, we're Stardust, we're Golden, we're a billion-year-old carbon. We've got to get ourselves back to the Garden. I think I butchered that. Nonetheless, we are in Woodstock, Ontario, tomorrow night for the Woodstock Wildcats Roar game. Great crowd tomorrow night. The women's hockey team are fourth in the East. They're facing off against Brock, who are tied for last in the East. So on paper, it will be a Golden Hawks favorite. However, anything can happen in OUA hockey. Men's basketball play tonight. Women's basketball play tonight. They're both on the road in Thunder Bay. That's a long trip way up north. They're in Thunder Bay. They're taking on Lakehead, of course, the men's team for Lakehead, 8-1 on the year. They're tied for first in the Central. And the women's Lakehead team, they're 2-7. They're tied for fifth in the Central. So make sure to catch OUA TV for those hockey and basketball matchups coming your way tonight and tomorrow night. With that out of the way, hope you guys have a great Friday, as it's been a rather nice, pleasant, snowy Friday here in the Waterloo region. So wherever you're watching, hope you have a great afternoon, and we will see you down the road.